You have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 27. As we have been looking at a series of messages dealing with the cross of Calvary leading up to Easter Sunday, we have studies in the passion and the power of our Lord, the cross, what it means. And then we come to this chapter that we're going to look at, these verses, where Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate, and how that the crowd, we looked last week of the crowd that decided that they had rather see Jesus die and for Barabbas to be loosed, a criminal to be loosed, and an innocent man be put to death. And so this intense hour that we're going to look at this morning, end of verse number 36, deals with this hour of Christ, perhaps the last hour. Moving towards this cross, we find, as we had looked at in the last couple of weeks, the Passover, the Lord's table, how he ate there with his disciples, how they had betrayed, one betrayed him, this mock trial, behold the man, as we looked at last week. And then this whole chapter, beginning in verses 27 through verse 36, we find the account of the crucifixion. And this morning, I want us to look at the soldiers and what they did here at this crucifixion. So let's look. Let's go back to verse 27 and just begin reading there. Our focus will actually be on verse 36, but let's get the whole context of what's going on here. Matthew 27. Beginning in verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head, and mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. This morning I want to preach to you a message entitled, Watching Him Die. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that we have come together to sing the old songs of Zion, Lord, to magnify, to glorify your name. And Lord, as we come to this portion of service, as we look at your word and we study your word, God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. May we apply here this day what we learn to our everyday life. Lord, perhaps there is one that is lost and undone without you this morning, either here in our midst or those that may be listening. God, we just pray that you would touch them this morning. God, you'd convict their heart that they be saved before it's eternally too late. Likewise, that one that is wandering around in the wilderness of sin, God, we pray that you would convict them as well, that they repent and return to you. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for whatever you do here this day, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What were these soldiers watching as they gazed upon this man hanging on a cross? I thought about a few things that perhaps they were watching. They watched On this day, they watched the complacency in the hour of crucifixion. These soldiers had witnessed many crucifixions. This was nothing new for a Roman soldier here. Darius was crucified when he was ruler. He crucified some 200 when he was conquering Babylon. Alexander crucified some 2,000 when conquering Tyre. A common means of capital punishment for the Romans. This was just another execution in their eyes. This wasn't anything special. They had two legitimate criminals on either side of Christ. And then they had this man who was accused of blasphemy, who was accused of various other things, breaking the laws of God. And so this was just another crucifixion to them. This may be the reason that the cross means so little to so many today. It's just another man. They have mutilated the master before he even reaches this cross. And certainly if you read in other passages of scripture and in the other gospels as well, you will find where Jesus was beaten, and I believe that he was beaten beyond the point of recognition. I don't think any human being, any normal human being, could endure the lashings that our Lord endured. They were a little more forceful with him because of who he was and who he claimed to be. And they was trying to set forth an example to all of those that maybe were watching or those that would hear of this later in their 5 o'clock newscast, right? They wanted this example, so they were more forceful. And so I believe, it doesn't say it in Scripture, but I believe that he was beaten beyond recognition because, as you know, when they would send those lashes, how it would literally tear the skin from the bone. They mutilated him before he even reached the cross. They doubt his virgin birth. They rejected his deity. They do not accept his miracles. This was just another man. I was doing some studies in religion, and I'd done some studies of other religions, and I had studied in this particular one where they high regard Jesus. They think Jesus was merely a prophet, that he was. He was just another man. He was a prophet. He had high esteem with God, but he was just another man. That's rejecting the deity of Christ. As hard as it is to explain, we was mentioning this morning of the Trinitarian. We are Trinitarian in our belief. We believe that there's one God, but three individuals. Jesus, or God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. That is one God, but it is in three persons. And God, or Jesus, was fully God, but he was also fully man. And that is hard to understand and hard to even to explain sometimes. But that is the way it was and still is. They rejected his deity. Who died on that day? Who was this man? The one whom the prophets had spoken of in Isaiah chapter 50, Isaiah chapter 53. Where he talked about how this man would come and how the government would be upon his heel. You remember those verses? You remember over in the Gospels where Matthew, Mark, and Luke talk about how that the governor sent out to kill Christ before he was even out of the womb good? He wanted him dead. He was a threat. The one who was miraculously born, Isaiah chapter 7, Luke chapter 2. The one who could open blind eyes and raise the dead. That's the one. See who is dying there, and you'll never get over it. Someone once said that I have never lost the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. This Christ, this man who was God the Son, how He looked over all creation and said that I will die for their sins. Even though they reject me, even though they hate me, I still love them. That's hard for us to comprehend, is it not? It would be very difficult for me to love someone that beat me, right? It would be very difficult for me to love someone who was trying to take my life from me. But our Lord bore it all because He loved us. And I find it interesting how people will say, and I don't want to chase this rabbit too long, but I find it interesting, and it doesn't make me mad in the sense of being mad about it, but it perturbs me, all right? When people say that the Old Testament has no binding today, well, yes, it does. Because in the Old Testament, you find from the very beginning where God lays out the foundation for salvation. From the very beginning, from the time that that bite was taken from that apple, God made a plan for redemption. And that cultivated where we're at this morning at Calvary's cross. They watched Him calmly in the world's, in the hour of the world's greatest crisis. This was the hour of the ages. This was the hour where a man accused of blasphemy was in their eyes getting what he deserved. This was the hour where two other criminals were being crucified. Three capital punishments being taken care of in one day. This probably, if they had the news like we have today, this would have been all you saw on TV, right? This would have been all over the social medias. This would have been in every newspaper, every magazine, every news outlet possible. Three being executed. But interestingly enough, that I would dare say in the society we live in today, had this occurred, that we wouldn't even think about the two criminals. No, our focus would be on who? Christ. The one who was innocent, right? Well, let's forget about what these other two have done. But let's focus on Christ. And I would flip that and spiritualize it. That's where our focus needs to be, right? On Christ. They watched calmly in the hour of the world's greatest crisis. The hour of the ages, and they were not even moved. This was just another death. This was just another crucifixion. This was just another man. This was just another man's clothes that we're going to cast lots for. This is just another person. When the darkness came upon the earth and how it shook, how their leader was finally shaken, and he exclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." They were just observers as the scene began to unfold before them. Can you imagine what was going through their minds? Can you imagine? We had an eclipse. I didn't see it, but there was apparently an eclipse recently that came through, a total blackout eclipse. Have you ever been a part of one of those? I remember one when I was a child where it was dark. It was midday, and it was dark as night outside. I would like to think that this may have been as dark as that. It said darkness fell upon the earth. Can you imagine? Here it is, the midday, and we're carrying out, people are celebrating most likely that these were being crucified, and then all of a sudden the earth is shaken and darkness falls. And then their great leader exclaims these words, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Just as these scenes began to unfold, There were the priests there who taunted him. There were the thieves there who cast the same, as the Bible says, in his teeth. There were the wandering disciple afar off in tears, that little band of faithful ones that was standing there. Standing at the foot of the cross, watching their master die. The forces of heaven and earth had stand poised at this time. He could have called 10,000 angels to come down and take him from that cross, but he didn't. And the earth hovered between destruction and deliverance. This is also an hour of crisis, as there are many who are unmoved by what God has done. I've been traveling a lot lately, finishing up some business with living in Little Rock, and I've been staying in and out of hotels all through my ministry as I traveled as an evangelist, and staying in and out of hotel rooms, and I've noticed it more in probably the last 5 years or so as I travel, and I would make it a point every time I checked in, whatever room I was in, first thing I would look at is those little tables by the bed to make sure that there was a Bible there. And I've noticed in recent years that that has become empty. There are no Bibles there. And the last few times that I check in, it may not be a lot of them at that hotel, but I can guarantee you the rooms that I was in, there was a Bible there before I left, because that's what we are to do. But I thought about that this week as I was studying and preparing for this, how this nation, this world is in such a crisis as we are unmoved by these things. Most people would never even think in a hotel room, oh, let's find a Bible. There's not one there. They never question it, right? I can tell you this much, in room 119 and room 111 in Arkansas at the Super 8 Hotel, there is a Bible in there as of yesterday and today. The Word of God needs to be shared. We're in such an hour of crisis. So many souls are being lost and dying and going to hell every single day. And we as church folk, Christian folk, stand by unmoved. They watched carelessly in the hour of God's greatest example of caring. They had gambled, the Scripture says, with his garments by casting lots. Isn't that something? To gamble for someone's clothes. And they heard the words as they were perhaps having their fun. Maybe even I'd read some commentators think that perhaps it wasn't uncommon for Romans to be drunkards at a lot of times. Perhaps even in their drunken rage as they was casting lots and gambling and having all this fun. But as they was having all of this fun, think about this. In the midst of all of that, as they would roll the dice, I don't know what they was rolling, but let's just say they was rolling the dice, they would hear the words, Father, forgive them. As they would roll the dice, they would hear the words, as the Lord looked to the thief that had said, Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. They would hear the words, today you'll be with me in paradise. As they began to roll those dice, they would hear the words, woman, behold thy son. As they roll the dice, they would hear the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? As they roll the dice, you would hear the words, I thirst. As they roll the dice, they hear the words, it is finished. As they roll the dice, they hear the words, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They saw it all. They knew all the facts. But the problem is they never did respond. How many are like that today? They've heard it all. They know the facts, but they haven't responded. Have you responded to God's love? And I'm not talking just of salvation. I mean, that's important and that's a great part of what this message is in dealing with. But have you responded to God's love in the sense of what God has done for you? Are you willing to share that with others? No, it's not much. I mean, I don't stay in a hotel very often. And, you know, having a Bible placed in that room, it may be there by the end of day. It may not be. And that Bible has the potential of reaching countless people. I don't know how many times those rooms are checked into. I don't know how long that book will even last there. But are we willing to share our faith? You know, if they can have the Quran and they can have all of these other ideas out there, and those people are pushing it, may I add, are we not willing to push what God has done for us, what we know to be real, and what we know to be fact? What does the death of Christ mean to you this morning? How has this death affected your life? Do you trust the one who died for you? I wasn't there at Calvary's cross in one sense, but I love the old song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Dear friend, our Lord loves you, and He's made a way for you. Let us show that love with others. As we stand together, this will be your opportunity to do business with God. Maybe it's salvation, maybe it's rededication, maybe you just simply want to say right where you are, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me. I thank you for the blood that was shed there at Calvary's cross. Lord, help me to be a better witness. Help me to be the one that shares your light in such a very dark, dark hour in our world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, as we enter into this invitational time, God, I pray that you would instill within us an urgency, Lord, to spread this gospel with a lost and dying world. Lord, even in this hour of crisis that we are in, not only as a nation, Lord, but as the world, Lord, help us not to stand by unmoved and unconcerned, but Lord, help us to respond with fervency and urgency to spread your gospel. And we thank you for it. It's in Christ's name. As we see.
Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus.